I wanted to just address how to work with this practice of Shenpa, recognition of Shenpa, and learning to not follow after it, or to not keep kicking the wheel, not strengthen the momentum of the Shenpa in the meditation practice, and then also in the rest of your life. So in the meditation practice, to keep it extremely simple, you don't have to be looking for Shenpa. It will find you, I think. But generally speaking, the instruction is that when you realize you've been taken away by thoughts, non-aggressively and non-judgmentally, with gentleness, you acknowledge that you've been thinking, and then you come back again to the breath, which is the same as saying coming back to the unadorned present moment. And then what happens is, of course, we think a lot, and I went over this a little bit in one of the talks, but thoughts have various degrees of stickiness, or various degrees of hooks. And one degree is very lightweight. Either it's just like a sort of a dream image, or it's like a background, but it doesn't take you away at all. You're just there. Next degree is that it does take you away a little, but hardly has any stickiness in it at all. Doesn't have a kind of an emotional charge to it. And in my own experiences, if the thoughts are really lightweight, you don't have to label everything thinking, because if it hasn't taken you off, you don't have to get into too much of that. However, if it takes you away, even lightweight, it's actually profound to acknowledge what's happening. Touch it lightly with the label and come back to the breath. More typically, they really grab us, and there's different degrees of how much they grab us. Everything from a light worry to an extremely pleasant memory, but it's not like that big a deal, where we're two sentences in, or two paragraphs in, or one page in, and then mind comes back, we say thinking, and we come back. There's some Shenpa in that. But the more highly charged it gets, and the more it really grabs you, then there's more Shenpa there. So this is to say, when there's a lot of Shenpa, and you acknowledge that with the label thinking, or touch it and let it dissolve, and you come back to your breath, you're sitting in the middle of the energy of Shenpa, even though you're not kicking the wheel. The energy of the Shenpa is still there. And what you do is you just do the regular technique of breathing in and out. It's not a repression. It actually allows you to stay present with that feeling. And then it keeps wanting to give birth to thoughts, because that's kind of programmed into us habitually, that we want to exit from this with our thought process. Fantasies, aggressive thoughts, craving thoughts, numbing out. So we keep letting the thoughts go and coming back to the breath, which is the same thing as coming back to sitting in the middle of the Shenpa energy. So you're sitting with it, with that ineffable, unnameable, pre-storyline energy. So with the Shenpa, we're training and sort of staying with that, because we're tapping into what feels like poison and to find its medicine quality. But nothing changes. That's the interesting thing. It isn't that this feeling changes into something else. It doesn't. The resistance to it goes. I think that's all really that happens there. But that's a big something. You'll come up with a lot of questions the more you do this, and one of them is going to be, how do I give it space so I don't drown in it? So you find out for yourself how to give it space and how to bring warmth into it. Those two things, space and warmth, really allow you to be able to be less and less afraid of doing this work. So basically, instead of frozen energy, it becomes unobstructed energy, which is its natural state. So I hope this doesn't sound too complicated, but basically I'm just getting at, just do the regular technique. As long as you're working with thoughts, then you're going to feel thoughts with different degrees of Shenpa, different degrees of hooks, different degrees of stickiness, you know? That's what I'm trying to describe here. And you let them all go, whether they're lightweight or heavyweight. whether they're cool or blazing, whether they're green or blue, you let them go. Whether they smell like shit or smell like a rose, you let them go. But if you had a lot of aversion to the ones that smell like shit, then you're still left with that quality, that ineffable quality, which really can't be named but is definitely experienced. So actually, a lot of teachers talk about this, what I'm saying here, and sometimes it's called felt experience. Mindfulness teachings talk about this, but it's being fully present without resistance, basically training in that. So this is why words like gentleness, relaxation, and so forth, breathing, riding the breath in and out, this kind of thing is considered very helpful, anything that brings space into it. And then these heavy-duty, strong emotions that usually cause us so much havoc in our life become bliss. So you may not have that experience, but nevertheless, it's the idea of staying, learning to stay with the difficult energies. So you really don't do a different meditation technique in terms of the thinking and the coming back to the present moment in the form of the breath, or whatever practice you are doing in terms of Buddhist practice from Vipassana, Zen, or something like this. But we're working with interrupting the momentum of the Shenpa, which maybe clarifies for some of us why it's always said that thoughts are not the problem. Thoughts are, as it says here, like clouds in the sky, but there's this shimmer when they fly, and that's like the aftertaste of when the thought has a lot of Shenpa. Then it goes and there's this aftertaste, but it's not something. And we learn to not be afraid of that. So that's what I would say about meditation practice, meditating with it.